Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and I am so excited for you to be with me today, and we have an incredible guest. First, I just want to say my co-host, Marcia Stone, is a little bit under the weather, so she will not be joining us today, unfortunately, but she can listen, which is great, to this conversation that we're going to have. And our intention always with our shows and our interviews is to provide wellness tips, inspiration, and support to all of you, and really teach everybody that we can have the best lives that we want to have when we can learn to rewire and when we can really understand that we have the power. And that's why we have some incredible guests on to tell us how they've rewired their lives, how they've contributed to inspiring others. And today our guest is Dave Anderson. He's a seasoned chef with a knack of transforming plant-based ingredients into masterpieces of bold flavor and tantalizing texture. His wizardry in the kitchen has drawn regulars like Bill Gates, Paul McCartney, and Ellen DeGeneres to his award-winning California restaurant. He is a big deal. I already knew that. And we are very excited to get him on this show. He has obviously shared his talents with many people, but also was the leading product developer for Beyond Meat, where he produced plant-based products that I think every one of us has seen in the grocery store aisle, like Beyond Burger. He's also co-founded the Hampton Creek, furthering his dream of making great-tasting plant-based foods available to everyone. So welcome to the show, Dave Anderson.
Thank you, Erica. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's obviously, I think every person pretty much out there has heard of plant-based foods at this point, and maybe some of us have tried it. I just wanted to share with you, you know, back in the 90s, I think I was one of the first of my friends, you know, trying Morningstar and some of these brands that were out there, just because I didn't have a huge affinity for meat my whole life. I just never really cared for it, you know, especially red meat. But I just wanted to kind of ask you how you became interested in this, and do you yourself, you know, obviously, have you always consumed plant-based foods?
Well, it's been a while. I mean, I grew up eating the standard American diet. Mm-hmm. But I've been plant-based one way or another over the last 30 years.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and I got exposed to it, I would say late 80s, early 90s as well. My younger brother was dabbling in vegetarianism and gave me some books, and I checked them out, and it sounded good to me. And so I started applying that. I was vegetarian for a while before I became vegan. Okay. But yeah, I've been vegan now for probably a little more than 20 years. I've been part of it, which has been fun and amazing, but I've seen the change. I remember the novelty of being able to go, I remember visiting Seattle in the late 80s, and all of a sudden you could get veggie burgers, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? You know, I mean, I was always a burger and fries guy. I love that. So, you know, here I am, and I'm newly vegetarian and not eating that anymore. And, you know, look, they weren't just like beef or anything. It was back in the day where it was a much different product, but it was still, you know, it was still exciting. And so, you know, throughout the 90s and stuff, it was very early on. And if you were eating that way at that time as well, then you know what I'm talking about. There wasn't a lot of really great stuff, you know?
No. Yeah. Right. And I mean, for you too, I'm just curious. I mean, this is like a huge question, but do you feel better? Did you start to feel better physically, mentally, you know, emotionally? Like, how has that impacted your health?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was just finishing college, my brother introduced me to vegetarianism. I started mm-hmm. eating that way. Mm-hmm. I started exercising. So there was a lot of different things, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely, and don't get me wrong, you can be vegan and eat very badly too.
Right.
you still have to be mindful, and you have to balance what you're eating. But yeah, it's been transformative for me. You know, even though it's been a long period of time at this point, I feel really good.
Yeah. And how being a chef, I mean, how did you basically kind of work your way up to creating, you know, foods as a, like, you know, an executive chef for Beyond Meat? How did this all transpire? Just for people listening out there that, you know, kind of want to forge their own path forward, how do you, you know, attribute that happening?
Sure. It was a pretty interesting journey for me. I was a musician. Yeah. I grew up in the Boston area. I played guitar. I went to Berklee School of Music in Boston.
And I love that school.
Yeah. And I was a very, very passionate musician, very into playing guitar. And what kind of happened is when I got out of music school, I was kind of, you know, I was playing some music professionally, making some money here and there, and sometimes not. And so I got a job cooking to kind of augment my income. And what happened is I found very quickly that I was actually really good at the cooking. And the kind of analogy I always use, one of my best friends growing up, this guy, Matt Sullivan, that I played in bands with, had perfect pitch, and he could just play anything. He could pick up any instrument and just make it sound good. And, you know, I worked really hard as a musician. I was good at it, but it was hard work, you know. And then this guy would show up and he would just, boom, he'd do something incredible, like drop
talented,
of a hat.
Yeah.
And so I started to cook, and it came very easily. And I kind of always thought of it that way. Whatever perfect pitch is when you're cooking, I'm not saying it, but anyway, some sort of analog.
Like that analogy.
So I it just came so naturally. And very quickly, I was like running kitchens, even though I was still playing music. And so, you know, I kind of was going down that path. And then just, you know, as a musician and as a creative person, it was hard to cook and not start to get really excited about it and get really creative with it. And so, you know, at this time, I wasn't cooking vegetarian or anything like that, but I was starting to eat vegetarian, and it seemed like there was kind of a disconnect for me. And so I started trying to figure out how I could cook the way that I lived, and you know, and really, how can I make everything come together? And so I decided to go back to culinary school, and you know, I looked long and hard, and how am I going to do this? And I you know, none of the vegetarian and plant-based foods that I was eating were very good, to be honest. And so I made the decision, I'm gonna suck it up, and I'm gonna go to Johnson & Wales, and I'm gonna cook regular. I'm gonna cook meat, I'm gonna cook dairy, because I really wanna understand how that stuff works, and then I wanna transfer it to plant-based. So that's what I did.
So cool. Yeah,
so I learned kind of the right way to cook, and then, you know, and then, you know, for whatever reason, my mind at the same time is fairly scientific, so I'm able to look at, you know, like I can look at ingredients like cheese or like eggs and things and see how they behave with the animal ingredients. And I'm able to kind of go into plant-based ingredients and find things that can behave similarly. So I finished culinary school and I came out to LA. And I got involved in Real Food Daily, which Eric, I don't know how long you've been out here, but that was a...
Oh, I know Real Food Daily, okay. Of course. I've been in the restaurants and of course.
So I was their executive chef for 4 years, and then I opened my own place, Madeline Bistro. And that's when it really took off for me, Madeline Bistro, because, you know, we decided we were going to do upscale kind of French bistro based food. And we decided we were going to make everything ourselves. So we were making, you know, we were making cheeses, we were making protein analogs, we were making, you know, we had a, I came up with a souffle, a chocolate souffle that it actually, you made it the same way. You know, I kind of looked at how a souffle was made, and you know, you make a meringue with egg whites, and
with egg whites. Yeah.
So I found an analog that I could create a plant-based meringue that you would actually whip it, and it would take on air, and then you would fold it into the chocolate
and
it actually behaved like a souffle. You put it in the oven, it rose like a souffle. If you ate it, you know, within minutes of it coming out of the oven, it was like a cake and warm and delicious and rich. Mm-hmm. And then if you let it sit there, it collapsed. It was pretty much the same deal. So, you know, that was kind of, we were doing stuff like that at the restaurant. And what happened is it kind of caught the attention. This now we're getting into the late 2008, 2009. And I'm sorry if I'm being super long-winded. I'm sorry you don't mean.
No, I love this timeline. Okay. No, this is what I wanted to hear.
Great.
Of course. Yeah.
So, So this is going on, and we're, you know, Madeline Bistro is getting pretty well known for what we're doing, because it was just very innovative for the time, you know, doing things the way that we were doing them. And but it started to get the attention of these plant-based companies that were starting to form right around 2010. I started to hear from these companies, and they were interested in, you know, as they were getting their initial funding, and this was like right at the beginning of when plant-based funding were actually getting venture capital money from big VCs, you know, Coastal Ventures, things like that. And so I had the opportunity of, I actually was with Beyond Meat first, but I'll start with Hampton Creek, because I started with Beyond Meat, and there was this brief hiatus, but I co-founded Hampton Creek. It was just very brief for me. We were gonna, you know, it was gonna be kind of an egg company, a plant-based egg company. And so I had at the restaurant, like I said, I had the souffle, I had mayonnaise that I could make. I had a whole bunch of stuff that was based on, you know, plant-based egg technology. So I got involved with that, got that started. And then, I got involved with Beyond Meat. It was actually for the second time, but they had a brief hiatus. But Beyond Meat, I was there for the first 4.5 years, and it was just incredible. It was kind of a dream at the time, you know. I had thought about that for so long. You know, what if we had the equipment and the resources to really figure out meat and how to work on these textures and flavors and bindings and all these things. And so I got with Beyond Meat for about 4.5 years. I did the first, I think, 8 products with them. It was a very small team at that time. And then towards the end, when we were going to do the Beyond Burger, it got much bigger. They hired a whole bunch of scientists, and it became like this huge lab, and it was really interesting and really exciting.
I bet.
But yeah, the last project I worked on with them was the Beyond Burger. It came out shortly after I left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, well, I don't know. Most people maybe have not tried it, but it is available in grocery stores, at least in California, and definitely in restaurants. And I've had my fair share of them, which I've always enjoyed, which is, you know, a lot to say. Even people that aren't, and I'm not a red meat eater, but I mean, it does mimic it pretty well. You know, that's, I mean, very, it's delicious.
We like it. My kids and I like going to Carl's and getting, you know, burger and fries, and it's pretty good, and it's definitely made a big dent and brought a lot of awareness to plant-based and what can be done with it. And then from there, you know, I decided it was time to move on from there. I wanted to actually, you know, found something and co-found something. So Bill Glazer, who I started Outstanding Foods with, Bill and I had been friends for 10 years. He had been somebody that ate at my restaurant a couple of times a week, was a big fan and just a really great guy. And so I felt really comfortable with him. So I called him up and I said, hey, let's do something. And we created Outstanding Foods, and, you know, we kind of went through the paces and, you know, you're raising money and figuring out what you're going to do. And we kind of landed on these, the first things we've done so far have been
the products,
plant-based snacks. And and again, and this is another aspect of it that's exciting for me. And we have, and, you know, I can kind of in a general way get at it more in a minute, but, you know, we definitely have a roadmap of products that goes beyond what we're doing there. But you know, the first thing we decided to go for was these plant-based snacks. And, you know, one of the exciting things for me, and I really, really feel like this is, you know, one of the big upsides for the future of plant-based is, you know, you can take, so right now we, you know, a lot of people, you know, like I did a lecture a couple of times at UC Berkeley, for plant-based meat analog classes. And, you know, one of the part of the class was people had to come up with a project of a plant-based product they were going to come up with. And everyone was thinking of analogs, you know, I'm going to do a bacon, I'm going to do a cheese, I'm going to do a burger, you know, you know, but the kind of the things in between all that stuff that's interesting is that, you know, like these snacks we're doing, you have the opportunity, it's not necessarily an analog, but you have the opportunity to create more nutrition. And that's one of the things that really excites me. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we came
having up... Having healthier ingredients. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so here's the thing. I was a snack food guy. I grew up, my great-grandfather owned a Wise potato chip distributorship in New York State. And so I grew up eating potato chips and, I'm the classic, like I'm driving around town. I got a bunch of meetings. I didn't plan on lunch. And so I stop at the gas station and buy a bag of chips and that's my lunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's just nothing to it. There's
no nutrition in it.
You fill up your belly and you get the calories or whatever, but it's fat and salt and it's just not. Yeah. So, that's kind of where the idea came. I was like, wow, what if I'm driving around and I'm doing this and I go to the gas station and there's something that's still, it still eats that way. It's still an enjoyable snack. And I like the salty snack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if it actually had some nutrition to it? And so, we've done the first one we did was the pork rinds, which have 7 grams of protein.
Which I think I bought by myself at Whole Foods before I even met you or knew about you. So
cool.
But I haven't gotten to the puffs yet or the other things that you've created.
The puffs, I'm really excited about the idea there because, again, you're getting 7 grams of protein per ounce, but you're also getting, 10% daily value of all the, 20 plus vitamins and minerals. So,
and it's so good for kids, too. Anyone that has kids out there. I mean, they're such snackers and you're on the go all the time. So,
So all of a sudden, here's something, this is not just for snacks. This is for a whole variety of things. But with what's available with plant-based proteins and vitamin and mineral technology and stuff, you can create foods that normally are just kind of decadent. They don't add anything nutritionally to your diet.
Right.
You can create versions of them that are just as tasty and
grateful
just
that
as
you
enjoyable.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where we started. And so it's been a really fun and exciting way to go.
You're just starting. I mean, you're going to keep growing and going. And that's what is, I think, incredible is just trying to figure out, I think as everybody continues to focus, I think more and more on their health, what people are looking for. And, we're in California, you and I, but, most of the country, I think, it's still difficult to have access to healthier snacking foods or just even plant-based foods in general for most people. So it's great now that we've moved to online and now people can order things online. And, so I think it's slowly, changing the landscape a little bit. But we still need to kind of address the misconceptions that people have about plant-based food. And, I'm just curious, would you say to people, if going vegan sounds totally overwhelming or vegetarian, how could people start to slowly incorporate, plant-based foods or switching even just their snacking into something like what we're just discussing? How would you suggest people start?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I was always, I was always a fan of, even the Meatless Monday or the, or whatever, just,
pick a day.
Yeah, one meal a week and, just to explore, just to see what there is. You're making such a difference for yourself and for the planet even, just with the, it's a big commitment to say, okay, I'm going to live this way and this, I'm going to change everything completely all the time. But, start in smaller bits, do it one meal a week, try some of these snacks, and then build up from there. I think you'll probably feel better and figure out what can work for you specifically. There's people have a number of different reasons, whether it's health or, animal rights or the planet or whatever it is, so, yeah, I would say, don't feel like it's all or nothing. Pick a spot and do some exploration and see.
And just try it.
Yeah. And honestly, the products are so much better now and it's growing so quickly. So I think people will be surprised.
Right. I was going to ask you, one of the things that, is sometimes my concern just for having, not again, our digestion, like some people aren't used to, or my body's not used to like soy textured things, and, you know, causes inflammation, or it doesn't help my stomach, let's just say, like, you know, so like right now people are kind of like a little hesitant because they aren't familiar with the ingredients. Like, can you just tell us a little bit about our bodies and how they would adapt, or maybe they have changed and everything's not so much soy, and, you know, what's going on today with what's in this? What's in these products?
So one thing you'll see for sure, because, you know, back in the day, and I think this is what you're talking about, and still to some degree,
it's like the soy protein isolate.
Everything and or wheat gluten, right? And
you know, exactly.
It makes sense why. I mean, they're very functional things. They make, you know, it's fairly easy to make products that have the textures and things that you want.
We
can get, I don't know if this is the right place for the discussion. I mean, look, those soy and wheat inherently aren't as problematic maybe as they
cause inflammation.
But also it's how we produce the majority of soy and wheat in this country. You know, it's most of them are GMO, most of them. So that, you know, we don't need to go all into that. But yeah, but the.
No, we won't.
I think, but the other thing that's happened is, you know, you're starting to see companies not use those products anymore. Like Beyond, we didn't, and I think they continue not to use, they don't use soy, they don't use gluten, you know, they use pea protein. I think one of their new ones had, mung bean protein, maybe. There's different proteins that people are starting, and we're doing the same. Actually, we have another snack. It's a little bit different. It's not along the same lines as the salty snacks we've been doing, but we have another product that we're rolling out sometime this year that uses we've been using the pea protein and the brown rice protein, but this new one will have a completely different protein source. And one of the things that's very exciting as this grows, you know, and as the interest in this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, there's more. I mean, because there's really an endless amount of proteins available that you can use.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, ultimately, somebody has to, you know, process them and get them ready to use. And so they have to be available. So that's kind of the thing. But as, you know, 10 years ago, you had basically soy and wheat gluten and maybe rice protein, you know, and then pea protein came in. And now there's things like mung bean protein and fava bean protein and potato.
Oh, so many.
And so, you know, I think one thing that'll happen from that is, you know, they will, you know, with the bigger variety of proteins, I think, you know, people will be able to find things that work better for their digestion. But I think the other thing, and this is a big one in my mind, and you know, the future of the plant-based is, to me, there's kind of two areas. And one we already talked about, which is that, you know, things can become, things that weren't nutritionally viable in the past can actually have good nutrition. The other one, though, is I think, you know, as this thing progresses, the companies are going to be more and more committed to finding cleaner ways to make these products, right? I mean, initially, soy was super available and super easy to use, same for gluten, and so that's what they used. But as these things move forward, you're going to see less and less of that, and you're going to see less and less of things probably like methylcellulose and, you know, ingredients like that, you know, you look at your label and you're like, not really sure if I want that. You know what
you're
I mean?
Like, what is that?
But, you know,
right,
I think,
exactly.
You know, for a long time, it was just, what can we do to make a burger that's plant-based and we'll use whatever we can. And now it's kind of evolving into what can we do to make a plant-based burger, but with a cleaner ingredient deck. And that's the future, really, I think. Because people, exactly what you said, you know, people who can't really eat soy and have trouble with it, they're not going to go out and buy a bunch of soy products. So it's just, you know, it doesn't work.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I've noticed it, that the ingredients have definitely changed, and which I think is incredible. And also just, like you said, kind of moving towards just consuming more fruits and vegetables and, you know, and more greens and just adding those to your life. And, you know, I have, so Dave, what I have a private practice and I have clients that are all kind of, most of them are in recovery of some kind from drugs and alcohol. That's my kind of expertise. And, you know, one of the things I talk to them about right away, you know, as a foundational tool of just resetting and rewiring your life, is to change your nutrition and to really look at, you know, how what we eat is basically the fuel for ourselves and the way that our moods are dictated and on how we sleep and how we function. And, you know, so it's so much more than just looking at food as what's your diet per se, but it's more about how you feel and how it makes you feel, and to bring a sense of mindfulness to that too. So I've noticed myself though, when I do eat more plants, fruits and vegetables, I feel like I'm treating myself better. My energy is better. I don't crash as much. So do you find that people, you know, give you that feedback when they have switched over to kind of more plant-based diets? Or what kind of advice could you say to maybe some of the people listening that are trying to change their lives in that way?
Yeah, well, one thing I would say, and we've been focusing, because look, this is what I do, but we've been focusing on kind of convenience products, right? And, you know, I think that there's...
Yeah.
Those can be an important gateway, right? If you're used to the standard American diet and you like a burger and you like cheese and you like things like that, then, you know, these products are becoming more and more available where you can transition into plant-based and still have those
things.
Yeah,
and they taste good.
I think another piece of it is kind of what you're saying. You know, I mean, you know, it's not like at my house we eat, you know, veggie burgers and plant-based cheese and, yeah, and things like that all the time. I mean, you know, I have kids, we're trying to be healthy.
Right.
You know, I mean, we supplement that, and we kind of, the base of what we try to do is, you know, like, especially we're lucky out here. I mean, you can go to a farmer's market almost any day of the week and, you know, get incredible organic, you know, fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
And so, but one thing I, you know, and I'm a chef, so it's a little different, but one thing I, you know, I found is all of this stuff did open a door for me where I still enjoy those things, you know, the analogs and the those things, but I find myself transitioning more into eating like whole grains and whole vegetables and whole fruits and things like that. So, and I think that's what you're talking about. So, ultimately, this can help you transition into a plant-based place.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to eat the this kind of stuff. You want to eat it in you know, you don't want to just eat only analogs and processed foods. You want to kind of have a rounded diet. Bring in more of the whole grain stuff. Yeah.
No, but I was just even just when I kind of started eating more like veggie burgers or Beyond Burger, I would buy, you know, when I was pregnant, actually in my last pregnancy. I just like, you know, I felt proud of myself. I felt like I was taking care of myself. So there's something too to be said about like positive self-regard. You know, when you are kind of giving yourself healthier foods, you feel better by yourself. It's all just connected, you know. So I think everybody should just, you know, kind of see it like that too. I think it's just reframing, because sometimes there's a resistance to change, you know. And I think everybody can look at this with like an open mind and an open heart that these changes are good changes, and, you know, to kind of just try things, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So tell us just a little bit really quick about, you know, your next kind of, you know, next step forward, your next goal forward for our audience, and, you know, where people could find you, and if they want to learn more about you, where to kind of get a hold of you.
Sure. Okay. So for Outstanding Foods, you know, with very, very exciting. Now we're starting to really, you know, pick up steam here. You know, we've been at it for 5 years or
I'm
so.
I'm following you now at Outstanding Foods. Yes. You guys, you know, have such great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But so this year we have another kind of a salty snack that's we're actually going to start manufacturing in the next probably month or so. And that will come out very soon. And then that will be followed. I'm keeping these very vague, and you have to forgive me, but just keep an eye
it's
on
okay.
things.
Yeah.
But the next one will not be a salty. It's still a snack. and it's still something that you would
this is like a guessing game.
You would typically eat it in maybe as a treat or as a decadent thing, but actually once again it's got the additional protein and vitamins and minerals. So that one will be coming out a little bit later in the year, and then we also are going to move into hopefully, you know, before the end of the year, we have another one in the works that's more of like an analog, like where, you know, like at Beyond Meat, we made a plant-based burger. It would be, you know, something like that. It would be, it would be something that you would eat to replace something that's not plant-based.
Something else. That's,
yes. Oh, so God. I'm sorry for the vagueness, but yeah. So things are really going to start opening up for us a bit. We're going to move into
outstanding foods. Yes. I know. I want everybody to get on that. Yeah. I'm so excited. We've connected, and I'm so excited to now have, you know, someone I trust and someone's, you know, I mean, I don't know you, but I trust because I feel like this is an authentic path for you. And I know that everybody listening will feel the same way. So that's important, is to kind of connect with someone that is making these products too. I think it's beyond helpful. So I'm excited too.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. And honestly, I mean, I'm plant-based. My kids are plant-based. This is not just a career. This is a mission, you know.
No, and you're walking the walk.
So I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, I already could sense it and feel the energy around it, but that, you know, it's like you also really care about the quality and the taste of your the food that you're creating, which, you know, obviously a consumer would be very appreciative of.
Yeah, and we take crazy lengths. I mean, look, here's something that I share this on occasion. I'm plant-based, right? But for instance, when I'm at Beyond Meat and we're working on the Beyond Burger, every few weeks I'm cooking a meat burger and I'm trying one, you know, because you really, you know, it's really the only way. And, you know, it's so funny how it works, because you work for those couple of weeks and you make, you know, very incremental, strides forward on the product, and you start to get, I'm getting there. And then you cook the real thing next to it, and you're like, back to the drawing board. So, you know, it's so important. So I'm still vegan. I feel I'm 100% vegan, but maybe once a month or every couple of weeks, depending on what I'm working on.
You got to take one for the team.
To me, it's about the mission. It's to me, I feel more vegan because I do that, because the mission for me is I want to create something so good that you don't feel like you have to go with the with the animal product anymore. And so that it's an obsession, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're an amazing person. So thank you. Thank you for sharing all this. And thank you for doing what you do. I mean, I'm super appreciative of that. And I, you know, have been leaning in that direction for a long time. Haven't totally moved over to plant-based, but having kids now too, I just want to add, it, you know, you really see, or at least I now pay attention to what's in everything I'm giving them. And I'm not giving them, you know, just, you know, fruits and vegetables all day long. They do eat, you know, Doritos and this and that here and there. But again, it's I would love to have other options. And so now that I do, I will make those choices, you know. And that's what I think a lot of us, we just need to know the information and to have the companies in mind, like you're like Outstanding Foods. So that's great. Hope everybody gets that from this show at least. So I just really quick before we end, and also, you can find David at Outstanding Foods on Instagram. And do you have a website you want to give everybody? Or
I guess just outstandingfoods.com, right?
Outstanding Foods.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible. Yeah. I look it up and I know how to get
That's what I have here. Okay. That's what I have here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outstandingfoods.com. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. So I always just like to double check. So just wanted to give you one more question. It's our deep dive question that we ask everybody that comes on the show.
Okay.
Because our show is about inspiration and people that have inspired us to become better. So what would you say is your superpower?
My superpower. If you could have one. Now you're going to put me on the spot, huh?
What comes to mind? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my superpower is that I feel like I'm never there. I'm never complete. I don't ever get there. I'm always open to learning. I'm always, you know, I think there's a you know, there's a very big danger in being like, oh, you know, I've done this and I've done this and I've done that, and now look where I am and I'm there, you know? And so, you know, I'm very humble about what I can do, because almost without fail, every new project I take on, no matter what I've done in the past, mm-hmm. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And so right. it's kind of yeah. a humility and it's this kind of open, always open, fresh mind to each new project. But at the same time, kind of a feeling underneath it that I got this. I'm going to figure it out. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm going to figure it out. So I don't know if that fits as the superpower,
it's a resiliency. Yeah. No, it's like you have resilience and you have a willingness to grow, all of it. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's fabulous.
Yeah, well, because a lot of times this kind of stuff, especially when it's true innovation, it's about mm-hmm. being able to fail every day, day after day after day, for a long period yeah. of time until you start making headway. And that can be tough on your ego, right. you know?
Right. Yeah. But that's where I think reframing comes in from just a psychological point of view, is just that, you know, a failure really isn't a failure. It's a learning yeah. lesson. I mean, I think you must look at it that way in order to keep going, you know?
Yeah. And I did. Right. I used the word failure, but yeah, I don't like, we make a formulation of something and it's terrible. I don't like go home and kick myself and I'm, oh my God, I failed.
Right,
but
right.
I in a general term, I call it a failure, but yeah, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. A failure, you know, sometimes the biggest learnings are what doesn't work.
The biggest successes come. Right, yeah. right, of course. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I love yeah. that. Thank you. Thank you, Dave Anderson, for being on Rewiring Your Life. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Until next time, all of you, be well.